Our God is with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith in me as well. In God's house there are many dwelling places. Otherwise, how could I have told you that I was going to prepare a place for you? I am indeed going to prepare a place for you, and then I will come back to take you with me, that where I am, there you may be as well. You know the way that leads to where I am going." Thomas replied, "But we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I myself am the way. I am the truth, and I am life. No one comes to Abba God but through me. If you really knew me, you would know Abba God too. From this point on, you know Abba God, and you have seen God." "Rabbi," Philip said, "show us Abba God, and that will be enough for us." Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen Abba God. How can you say, 'Show us your God'? Do you not believe that I am in Abba God, and God is in me? The words I speak are not spoken of myself. It is Abba God living in me, who is accomplishing the works of God. Believe me that I am in God, and God is in me. Or else believe because of the works I do. The truth of the matter is, anyone who has faith in me will do the works I do, and greater works besides. Why? Because I go to Abba God." The good news.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Mystery, you've heard me say, is not meant to be figured out. It is meant to be enjoyed. I'm not suggesting that it's a bad thing to attempt to explain mystery. That can actually be kind of fun. But it's unrealistic to settle on one definitive way to understand mystery, to draw rigid conclusions that are enshrined in creeds. And woe to the heretics who see things some other way. What are the methods by which you enjoy mystery? Do they ever change? Here's the situation faced by our ancestors in the faith. Jesus had died, but somehow many were still experiencing him as alive. That astounding fact that became the heart of the Jesus movement, the mystery called resurrection, couldn't be enjoyed in just one standardized way throughout the first century. Things had to change. Thinking about it obviously had to change. Liturgy, praying and celebrating about it, had to change. Music and art and storytelling about this great mystery had to change. I think of a line from the William Butler Yeats poem called Easter 1916. "All changed, changed utterly. A terrible beauty is born." Those who got the theology bug struggled with what resurrection meant. Did it mean that Jesus would reappear in glory and rapture them back to heaven with him? Would he come back as a powerful king who would see to it that Roman occupation would end, persecution would stop, synagogue authorities would welcome the Jesus people back, all enemies would be reconciled, and all their problems would be solved? Clearly, none of that was happening. By the time today's gospel was written, something like 70 years had passed since that ugly day at Calvary. And there was no in-the-flesh Messiah in sight. 70 years later. So there had to be some other meaning that they could glean from the crucifixion. Some other way to ponder it. Some gave up trying to find that. They lost hope. So people had to change how they viewed the resurrection mystery. They had to shut down their dueling theologies. They had to get out of their heads and into their hearts. They had to celebrate. They had to embrace mystery and to change utterly, or the whole movement would die. Change or die. The gospel passage today is essentially an exercise in creative writing. The author offers a new perspective to those confused followers of Jesus. He was essentially communicating with them as if he were the risen one, teaching them all about what we commonly call heaven. He was going to prepare a place for them and then return to take them there as well. But John's Jesus was using symbolic language. He was not telling about a geographical place. No GPS would help them find it. Again, he was using the language of mystery. I-75 was not the way. I am the way, he says. Change is the way. Let go of shallow, joyless, literal thinking. Don't get stuck in metaphor land. Let go of explanations that go nowhere. Find the mystic inside you. Mystics are practitioners of mystery. And there is something of the mystic in each of us, whether we call it that or not. John Spong gave this subtitle to his book on the Gospel of John, Tales of a Jewish Mystic. And that phrase truly describes that gospel. Tales of a Jewish Mystic. In it, we are led ever deeper into wonder, especially the wonder of the resurrection. Spong wanted his readers to appreciate the gospel as, quote, a doorway into a new dimension of life, a journey into the heart of life, a journey into a new consciousness, end quote. I started these remarks by asking about the methods by which you enjoy mystery, by which you experience a change of consciousness. Some of your favorite methods might be lovemaking, stargazing, playing with the grandchildren. Mystery might strike you in the zen of baking your favorite cookies, or in a visit to a museum, or in the thunder of a Beethoven symphony. It is the artist, the mystic in each of us, that is always finding new ways to express what is in the heart. Musicians, painters, sculptors, storytellers. A particular storyteller comes to mind, a playwright named Paul Stroeli, whose mystical imagination inspired mine over the past couple of months. He is the author of the most recent play in which I performed and which some of you saw. It's called A Jukebox for the Algonquin. The play is largely a story of a deep and wonderful friendship between two very different old men. Dennis, whom I played, is a somewhat stereotypical gay guy in a wheelchair. And Johnny is a big, loud, down-to-earth, very not gay black man. Now that the production has ended and no spoiler alerts are needed, I can tell you about a special scene in it. Dennis is deeply grieving the loss of his dear friend Johnny, who died unexpectedly during the course of the play. Dennis has a dream in which he is visited by a very wise Johnny, now enjoying a glorious afterlife. Johnny tells of how, in his death, he has been reunited with his long-deceased wife. He shares what helped him handle the grief of losing her. The lesson he learned was, quote, "Don't miss them. Live them. Eat the food they loved. Go to the places they liked. Dance to the music that they did." End quote. This wisdom was soul medicine for the grieving Dennis, the heartbroken dreamer. My friends, we engage in the same beautiful practices when we enter into the mystery of the risen one. We share food that we call Eucharist. We laugh. We hug. We create sacred space. We tell stories. We make music. We even dance sometimes. First members of that odd little first century Jewish sect had to learn that lesson and change if they wanted to truly live. Don't just miss Jesus. Live him. Don't get stuck in grief as so many of those first followers did, the ones who thought that their only options were to either wait for a kind of literal second coming or to give up hope altogether. They had to get much more creative than that. For one thing, delight in the poetry that called him a living stone. The stone which the builders rejected that became the cornerstone. Mystics know that what is rejected can be of immense value. And believe that he is in God, and God is in him, and that he is the way that leads into the very heart of God. And realize that this same oneness, this same holy interconnectedness is yours as well. Because you are in God, and God is in you. And because of your faith, you will do the works Jesus did and greater works besides. Rejoice that in today's second reading, you are called a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people set apart to sing the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into God's wonderful divine light. Savor all of that. And don't just miss your Christ. Live him. Embody him. Live him by taking care of his followers, known as the body of Christ. See to it that the poor are fed, the homeless are sheltered, the sick and lonely and grieving are comforted. In our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we have a story about a dispute that needed to be resolved among the early believers, a concern that required that the community behave responsibly and live him, and not just wish he were there in the flesh to settle the matter for them. They faced a problem that required the group to establish fair and equitable food distribution among their widows. I don't think they handled it very well. In response to the challenge, they selected 7 men to address the matter. None of the widows whom the problem affected were chosen. Basic fairness says, don't talk about me without me. Clearly, the wisdom about living the Christ was not perfectly implemented. Imagine that. The original saints were not always so saintly. But here we are, many centuries later, still struggling, still with serious growing to do. But in time, and with some of that serious growing, we activate the mystery within us. To do so is to let yourself change utterly. It is to find new ways to live the mystery in ever creative ways. Again, the choice is change or die. This quirky little community that we call Living Beatitudes is the result of many years of changing. Praying, singing, dancing, preaching, pastoral care, addressing disputes. Many years of honoring the mystical in the saints depicted on our banners. The mystical in some of our favorite modern theologians and poets and social justice workers. Joan Chittister, Matthew Fox, Richard Rohr, and so many others. We learned to think differently about what it means to be church. We have changed from our early days of simple support for just queer folks, and we have moved on to become a gathering of numerous allies that are always expanding their thinking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. We are Dignity Plus, a big plus, seeking justice for all people, all of creation. Finally, living him. Resurrection is about taking on the new life that comes with a new vision, a new consciousness. Resurrection is about living the Christ now, and not just turning him into an historical figure to be admired, whose teachings about love get twisted beyond recognition by politicians and the super rich. Resurrection is about active compassion for victims of violence and hatred and greed. It's about imagining a better world. Mystery comes from a word that means that which we see with our eyes closed. So close them regularly and go deep inside the imagination where the divine is found, where we can be moved to change, where we don't miss him, we live him. May we do so every day with Easter joy. And God's people say,
Amen.
Your thoughts?